I'm Mimi Rosenberg, and with Ken Nash, we're building bridges to educate, agitate, and organize to empower we the people. For a better world is surely possible, and we are the ones who can make it so. Now, no more genocide in our name, and let's make it so, along with Sinan Marathi, a Kurdish political and cultural geography educator and researcher, dismissed from his academic position for support for Palestine, and with Max, an Irish anti-British colonialist, both who weigh in on Palestine. Same struggle, same fight. We unite and fight for a free, free Palestine, an all-out Palestine. Let's join with Max and Sinan, the voices of we the people. Yes, join with them, the voices of the people.
Free, free Palestine! Free, free, free Palestine! From the river to the sea! Palestine will be free!
From the sea to the river!
Palestine will live forever!
So Gaza, you will rise!
Do you mind if I talk to both of you? I heard you say you're Kurdish and you have bagpipes. Tell me, it's 29 degrees out here, but nevertheless, you are here on this very cold day. What brings you here to participate in this protest in support of Palestinian liberation?
A deep and human sympathy with the Palestinian struggle. Funnily enough, the first thing that turned me on to this movement is an old Irish song from the 70s called Mo Palestine. It's in Gaelic and Arabic. I started getting interested in Palestine because I'm Irish and we have a colonial history too. The more I researched, the more I saw just the striking similarities between things like the 1845 Irish potato famine, which was actually an intentional genocide against Irish people, and land clearances in Scotland after the 1745 rebellion, and what's going on in Palestine right now. And so I just can't help but to support this whenever I can, wherever I can, while proudly displaying the cultural heritage that the British tried to wipe out from my people in support of another people that European colonizers are now trying to wipe out.
Your thoughts about this country, this government, whether it's the Biden government or the Trump government, how do you understand the ferocity, the cruelty, the hegemonistic interests that are wiping out tens upon tens of thousands of people with no respite or response to the millions around the world that have called for a free, free Palestine?
I think more sinister than hatred is that the people who are in power don't necessarily hate Palestinians, but they're apathetic to the pain that they inflict on them because they're profiting off of it. They do not view us as human beings. They do not view anyone who isn't in a position of power over them as a living, breathing human being. They view us as numbers off of which to profit, off of which to imprison, off of which to cast the suffering that they fear feeling themselves onto. And so in their cowardice and their callous apathy, they allow the suffering to continue because it profits them, whether directly through finances or by allowing the so-called American ally to exist in the Middle East as a way to exert imperial power over there and over the oil fields that our oil-reliant economy is so dependent on.
Would you say that your community, family, feels similar to you and that there is a movement building amongst the people that you communicate with for a free, free Palestine? Or we've got a ways to go?
In my personal opinion, I think that Palestine, I believe a lot of people aren't ready to say free Palestine, but a lot of people do want the Israeli apartheid to end, and they do want the Holocaust that's going on in Israel to end. I feel like a more unifying political moment recently, especially for both sides, is the Luigi Mangione issue with the healthcare CEO that was shot in this city. And I feel like that is more emblematic of the struggle that most Americans are feeling. In terms of my personal community, in terms of my like age group and my college community, there is a lot of support. But because of where I'm from, being like a really conservative area, and dare I say a really ignorant area of the country, over there, especially my family, do not see it this way, because for the most part, they're brainwashed by, like, Fox News and stuff, who are constantly telling them that we're all terrorists, who are constantly one-siding the entire story and just ignored the history of Palestinian occupation for the last 78 years.
I wonder if we might ask you, or I might ask you, to play the tune that you referenced a moment ago for us to record.
Oh, which tune?
Well, you referenced a tune that had a similar background in terms of Gaelic and was applicable to the...
Oh, that's not a bagpipe tune.
Okay, can you do one that is?
I can try. They're a bit out of tune.
Okay.
But I can...
Thanks. And then we can talk to our Kurdish friend over here.
Absolutely.
And you are, by the way?
Max.
Max? Thank you.
Yeah.
Max, thank you very much. And can you tell us a little bit about what you just played?
That tune is called The Wearing of the Green.
Ah.
Because Queen Victoria outlawed the wearing of the shamrock as a symbol of Irish pride in Ireland after the Irish potato famine. And almost as a direct result, I'd say, of her learning about the Vinegar Hill Rebellion in 1798 under her father. And so, if you were caught wearing the green, they would hang you. And the lyrics to the first part of that song, and one of the most endearing lyrics, is they're hanging the men and women for the wearing of the green. And I cannot help but feel that that is so analogous to the experience of carrying a Palestinian flag in Palestine and the threat that the Israeli government gives to the Palestinians for daring to display their colors.
Max, thank you. Well, thank you.
It was lovely to meet you.
No, it was lovely to meet you. And you were here listening. And the reason I said my Kurdish friend, that's how you initially I heard you describe yourself, to our bagpiper there. Tell me why you're here, who you are, and I didn't see the flag. You've got the Kurdish flag. So what is the point of sympathy, empathy for the Palestinian liberation with you as a Kurdish person?
Well, Max just said that the green color had been banned. Palestinian colors are banned. Kurdish colors are banned. Parliamentarians have been stripped of their parliamentarian immunity, like Leyla Zana in Turkey was sent to jail for just speaking Kurdish in the parliament. People have been, their businesses have been shut down for just displaying Kurdish flag, even Kurdish letters like W, X, that are not present in the Turkish alphabet. And I'm here as a Kurdish person, as a scholar, as a teacher, as a person, but also I'm here like anybody. You don't have to be Kurdish or Irish or, you know, even Palestinian, honestly, to just see what is going on with Palestine, to not sympathize, to be part of the struggle. Because what is going on in Palestine is the same thing that has been going on in Ireland, in Scotland, in Kurdistan, where I'm from, in South Africa, in, yeah, colonialism is really the same. It just takes different forms and different, yeah.
Let me ask you if you have particular thoughts now about, there used to be, some of us had hoped it was a perverse fantasy of Israel to have a greater Israel, to move into Lebanon, to move into Syria, etc. I believe that this is a real aspiration at this juncture, as well as, of course, of the settlements to expel and commit complete ethnocide of the Palestinian population. So with the recent developments in Syria and so on, what are your particular thoughts in how this would affect the Palestinian liberation struggle?
Well, what is going on in Syria is just the next episode of this imperialist occupation, you know, bombing of a country out of oblivion, a population that is half, more than half of them displaced, providing peace, providing a real solution. We just see more of the same, more bombing. Yeah, I think what we really need is the solidarity of all peoples. I think I'm Kurdish, so I'm really glad to see that the Kurdish forces in Syria, they have made a real, genuine effort. They're feminist, they're ecological, they're direct democracy system, to create a system that is also pluralist, not just pluralist in the liberal sense. It's genuinely multi-ethnic. It's bottom-up democracy. So any neighborhood, regardless if they are Arabs, if they are Assyrians, if they are Armenians, if they are Christians, any groups, they work together. They, all the system they have, from the neighborhood all the way to the region, to the cantons they call them, are co-led. So both, every organization you think has two leaders. One must be a woman and one must be non-Kurdish. So they have upheld that for over the past 10 years in the region that they fought the worst atrocities of the Islamic State. And right now even them are in danger. So we should really ally our forces, Palestinians, Kurds, Scottish, Irish people, all Americans, all people who really want everybody to be free, our region not be bombed. You know, war is the number one killer of the environment. Polluting water, polluting land, polluting air, and all that money, all those shipments that are going across the world, they're the largest contributor to the climate catastrophe that right now we have. We often talk about climate catastrophe in terms of countries. We should also think about it in terms of sectors of the economy of, you know, human activity. And the number one sector is militarism, is war. So I think we really should take care of our environment, we should take care of our people, and we should really create genuine neighborly existence, which has existed in the region for thousands of years. And we should go beyond the nation state, because nation state is about, it's about exclusion, it's about dominating one group over the other. We should really get rid of the nation state. We should create a situation that everybody has the same value.
Well, since you mentioned getting rid of the nation state, we are in this country in a situation where there are terror threats against our immigrant siblings for deportation, possibly rounding up people and putting them in camps that are analogous to what we did with the Japanese, including Japanese citizens during World War II. So what do you say or think about an administration coming in with the threat of mass ousting, mass deportation of people who were very often faced with the policies of globalization, the very same kind of policies of the destruction of the environment, and were forced to come here to follow the jobs? It was globalization that pushed them. So your thoughts of how this struggle around Palestine relates to the issue of no deportations, indeed really taking up the issues of no borders, no nation states. We are all workers, workers of the world, if you will. unite, fight. You have nothing to lose but your chains and a world to win. I'm putting a lot out there, but your thoughts since you got me started on it.
No, I'm a geographer, and a political, cultural geographer at that. And I think the threat of expelling people who simply, it's honestly, is because of their color of their skin. Let's not ignore that. It's about their race. It's about their religion. It's about who they are. Otherwise, I mean, in this country, everybody is immigrant. Why nobody's talking about, like, the, you know, the genocide of indigenous populations in this country? Right now, we should really make things better rather than make things worse. I think we should acknowledge that immigrants that are today mostly known as, you know, mostly refers to people from South American, you know, Latin American backgrounds, I think we should respect, we should not just include, we should give them the position they deserve. Like everybody else, they should get an education, they could get a health care. You know, when COVID killed people, COVID mostly killed marginalized people, a lot of immigrants who were forced as, quote, essential workers to work in the farms, to work in, you know, meatpacking factories. And we should address those problems. We should make sure that people have health insurance, that people are able to live rather than expelling people in the name of what? This is white supremacy, honestly. There is no other way you could look over. And what is happening in Mexico, you know, the gang violence, all those guns are giving, well, from the U.S. It's actually a lot violence giving from the U.S. to Mexico than the other way around, because the other way around is mostly created by the media, and I think we should really address that. We should also understand, I'm an immigrant as well. I'm from Iran, so we should really look at the situation that what created this violence in the so-called global south that, you know, we tend to ignore. With this violence, it's all wars, it's all the destruction of the environment, this destruction of the people's livelihoods. That leads to a situation that life becomes so unbearable that people literally risk their lives. Right now, the Mediterranean is the largest open-air graveyard of, you know, black bodies and, you know, brown bodies drowning. They just want to have a normal life.
Do you mind telling us who you are?
My name is Sinan. I'm Kurdish.
And yeah. Where do you teach?
I used to teach in college, but after Palestine, I don't think that it was entirely because of Palestine, my contract was not renewed. So I'm still looking for my next step. But I'm currently teaching at high school and I love it. And I think I'm really proud that I have the chance to teach the kids who are majority-minority school, encouraging them. You know, many of them are not seen in colleges. You know, colleges are, and right now another thing that is threatened is the, you know, DEI colleges. Apparently seeing black and brown bodies on colleges is seen as a threat. So me teaching as a high school is actually a really, really enlightening experience, just getting these students to hopefully get a better education and go to college.
Sinan, if I may intrude a little bit further, Building Bridges, which you're speaking to one of its co-hosts now, is a program that focuses a great deal on the working class, the issues of work, labor, and so on. And I couldn't help but emphasize what you said is it may not have been entirely the case, but you thought that your contract was not renewed as a result of your activity, your humanity, your politics in support of Palestine. I wonder if you could just talk a little bit more about what you think is happening at this time in the world of work. I also am a member of Labor for Palestine, so I've seen people lose their jobs. I know what's happened in my own workplace. But your thoughts about the level of repression to try and silence dissenters in the workplace.
Yeah, I've actually written about what they call academic authoritarianism in the context of Iran. And it really, I came to the U.S. 2012, and it really alarms me that the trends that right now I see in the U.S., especially U.S. academia, are very, very similar, if not exactly the same as what is happening in Iran. Let's face it, the U.S. academia has not been like a entirely free bastion of, but to the credit, we should give credit that it has largely been free. It has allowed scholars, you know, academics, students, to think and write and, you know, teach things like, but that is facing a lot of threat. It's unprecedented. And we must really unite. And so when they are doing this, when they do not renew the contracts of vulnerable academics like me, when they send me off basically to elsewhere to basically fend for myself, they're doing at least two things. Number one, they go after your livelihood. They make sure that you suffer, so you don't resist anymore. And number two, they are creating silence, because by kicking out, either kicking out directly or by making life so miserable, by profiling academics, by, you know, calling them to defend themselves, they are creating a situation that nobody else, especially those voices who are, you know, have more knowledge about the region, that they are silenced. And the violence goes on. That's the purpose.
Do you mind telling us what university you were associated with?
Yeah, I was at the University of Oregon.
I really thank you. This was very deep. I'm interested in what brings you here.
I'm Palestinian, so that's my duty. That's it. It's my duty as a Palestinian.
How do you define and help people understand what that duty entails?
Any Palestinian that is outside of Palestine, they're in diaspora, as I am. So that it's our duty to do what we need to do. So we need to be the voices for everyone in Palestine, especially in Gaza. We have to be their voices. They are our eyes and ears, and we are their voices.
And what do you want to say to the government of this country, whether it's Trump, whether it's Biden, who are completely complicit and enabling the genocide that is happening, the ethnocide that is happening?
They need to wake up, because whatever's happening in Gaza and Palestine and Syria, Lebanon, and all the Middle Eastern countries, it's going to happen here. They will take over this country as well, which they already are. That's what I got to say, is for the American government to wake up. Stop using our hard-earned tax dollars to pay for weapons being sent over to Israel. That's the main thing. Okay, but I'm a hard-working Palestinian American where my hard-earned dollars are going over to Israel. They take money from my paycheck and it goes over to Israel. I did not agree to that. Use that money to pay for health care. The homelessness in this country is unbelievable. In so-called Israel, okay, which is occupied Palestine, you don't see one homeless person in the Israeli area. They have free education, free health care, no homelessness. And meanwhile, this country is being just run into the ground. The homelessness here is crazy. The health care is unbelievable. So, CEO of United Healthcare, I'm not going to go further into details about that.
Do you still have family?
Yes. Yes.
Are they on the West Bank or in Gaza?
We're from the West Bank, Jerusalem area. I'm first generation American. Parents, grandparents, we're Palestinian. So as a Palestinian here in the States and everyone else that's here, this is our duty to do this. So there's a reason why we are here, so we can help them over there. You know, they are the ones, yes, bringing out all the scenes for us to see. If it wasn't for social media, we would not know what's happening. I'm actually on TikTok live right now with journalists and people from Gaza, and they're watching this live. They're seeing all this live. Every time I come out to these protests, I go onto TikTok, open up my camera, which I never usually do, and they watch and they see all this happening.
My name is Mimi. I'm with the Pacifica Stations. I can't thank you enough for speaking to us. And what can I say? Free Palestine.
Well, thank you. See, you amplify our voices. You have to fight as a Palestinian. Yes, I can stand here, but they're not going to listen to me.
Well, we've got to make them listen, right?
Well, thank you so much.
In the spirit of Samud, which I'm learning about, free, free Palestine.
They're all being steadfast. They are all being steadfast, you know.
As are you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
1, 2, 3, 4, Zionism no more.
1, 2, 3, 4, Zionism no more.
5, 6, 7, 8, Israel is a terrorist state.
5, 6, 7, 8, Israel is a terrorist state.
1, 2, 3, 4, Zionism no more.
1, 2, 3, 4, Zionism no more.
5, 6, 7, 8, Israel is a terrorist state.
And we're leaving the protest with that chant, and the person delivering that rallying cry has a sign that says, Judaism condemns the state of Israel and its atrocities. So,
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 3.
You've been listening to And We Do Building Bridges, to you, the people, for us to act for a free, free Palestine. Stay strong and good holiday wishes.
Thanks for listening to Building Bridges. I'm Mimi Rosenberg with Ken Nash. Free, free Palestine.